As a longtime educator, wellness instructor, and coach for women rebuilding after major life shifts, I deeply understand the challenges of reconnecting with your mind, body, and purpose so you can live grounded, confident, and whole. I'm Dr. Molly Kirby, your host, and welcome to Rooted Conversations by Reinnovate You Coaching, where your healing becomes your roots and your growth becomes your new way of being. Through grounding conversations, practical tools, and valuable insights, Rooted Conversations empowers you to reconnect with yourself, to release what no longer serves you, and to reinnovate the person you're becoming. If this sounds just like the thing you've been looking for, subscribe to the podcast and join me on this journey to reset, renew, and reinnovate you. Welcome back to Rooted Conversations. I'm so excited to bring an incredible group of women whose work reflects self-care, creativity, and empowerment. Joining me today are two Bowling Green, Kentucky-based skin and makeup experts. First, we have Sandra Anderson, an esthetician at Atala MD, and my good friend Tanya Johnson, who many consider an expert in makeup and skincare. Definitely not last or least, we have also been joined by the fabulous Melanie Mills, the owner of My Makeup Altar in Nashville, Tennessee. I always think it's a really good thing for us to get started and let the listener know who we're talking to and a little bit about your journey. So, Sandra, I'm going to start with you. Can you tell the listeners today, what was your journey into skincare and what made you decide to be an esthetician?
Well, for many years, it was my hobby. I was married and I traveled all over the country, all over the world with our jobs. And everywhere I went, I would go to the spa. If we were at a resort, if we were in San Francisco, New Orleans, you know, that was kind of my thing. I missed kissing the Blarney Stone once because I stayed back and got a spa day. But when I got divorced, you know, like many women in my 50s, I was like in my 40s at that time, thought, what are you going to do, you know, with your life? And we owned our own company. So I knew I didn't, you know, that was his life. That was his job, his career. It wasn't mine. And my friends are like, you're going to have to do something that you love and it'll never feel like work. So I'm like, the only thing I love is the spa. And they're like, well, why don't you be an esthetician? So I went to the Aveda Institute when I was 45, which I was the oldest person in class, of course. And I've never looked back. Loved it every minute of it, every day. I was an instructor at one point for a career college, adult learners. I love that, mentoring to other women. And I went out to Colorado for a while from Cincinnati. I was in Dayton, Ohio, when I went to the Aveda Institute in Cincinnati. And then I left Dayton and went to Colorado for a while. I worked at a really big Aveda salon out west in Old Town Fort Collins. I love that, but it just wasn't the right place for me. Bowling Green is my home. So I came back home and started working as a medical esthetician for the Atalas at Atala Skin and Laser. And I've been there now for 10 years.
So actually, the listeners out there, that's how I met Sandra. Thank you for sharing your stories. Melanie, I'm going to throw this to you. I know you've got a good story to tell us about how you got involved in makeup and ended up in Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah. So I'm from California, Los Angeles, and 4 or 5 generations. And my family is very deep in the entertainment business, mostly musicians, jazz musicians in particular, but actors, theater producers, etc. And I would have a lot of fun when VHS was like just coming out and MTV, getting people together in the neighborhood, recreating videos. And I would always end up doing the makeup. But believe it or not, I was actually quite a surfer girl that really didn't wear much makeup. I had long curly hair, wore a little mascara. It wasn't until I had the opportunity to travel through Europe and then go and live in Italy, where I had met so many fabulous Scandinavian friends, that after I lived there, I'd like waitress and then go back. I was visiting friends and they were taking a makeup class. And I walked in and I thought, oh my God, this is another reason to move to Italy. Wait a minute, you can make money doing makeup. It never occurred to me. I did have like also some friends in the business where their parents were actors. And I thought, That guy will be able to get me a job, no problem. And I just really wanted another excuse to live in Italy. So I told my great grandma, who was like my benefactor, and I was very shocked to hear that she was not interested. And she just said, you know what? That is such a man's world. It's so tough. It's so hard. I just don't understand the pivot you just took. We were on this path to become this, this, and that. I don't think I'm going to support, you know, financially another situation over there. So I was crushed telling my hairdresser about it. She happened to have a roommate that did makeup for film. And I'm not even kidding you. Within 2 weeks, I was working on a set. And it was just really meant to be. I interned on this movie that went on for about 6 months. I ended up taking a night course, like 3 month program. And it just really fell into place. And it was just one step after the other. And it's been a fabulous career. And what led me here is, so I've been doing makeup for 30 years now. I'm an Emmy Award winner. I've got 2 Emmys and 21 Emmy noms. I'm most known for Dancing with the Stars. And from Dancing with the Stars, I created a makeup line called Melanie Mills Hollywood. It's that really beautiful, glowy body makeup. And so I was starting to burn out on the industry because mainly the hours are just so intense in that industry. I had the opportunity with my cosmetic line to go on QVC UK, which we had spent a fortune doing, but we were launching, no joke, March 15th of 2020. So it was a big financial loss because this was in the UK. I had to have everything shipped over there. I had to do it via Skype. And in April, we got through the first session, but I was booked for the whole year and we were already talking about 21, and all of that had to be put on hold. So I had to sell my home to basically make up for all of that. But like I said, I was burning on the industry because of COVID. It kind of crushed that industry for a minute too. And my husband and I said, you know what, let's get out of here. And you've been in my shop. My shop is about inner and outer beauty. So I sell makeup and skincare, but I also sell crystals, metaphysical goodies, candles, stuff like that. And so I was meditating, like, where do we go? And it literally said Nashville one day. And I thought to myself, well, there's a lot of celebrities there. I should be okay in Nashville. And we came out, checked it out. We said, you know what, let's do it. And that's how it all happened. As far as opening the makeup altar here in Nashville.
Yeah. So that's such a great story. So listeners, you know now why I asked Melanie to be a part of this. It's just a really great story.
I have to say, I am so fangirling right now.
Right?
I have Melanie Mills in my house. Love it.
Yeah.
I do. Yes.
All right. I like that. So, Tanya, I know you don't make your living doing these things, but can you tell us why makeup is so important in your life and how you have approached makeup in your journey?
I have always been the girly jock in our family. So I was one of those players that you used to see with the full bead of makeup on the basketball court.
Yeah,
that was me. But even as a little girl, I was a little girl who had to have her nails polished, you know, and my grandmother started buying me lip gloss when I was like 2, you know, because I'm sitting there while she's putting on her powder, you know, and her lipstick, you know, and I'm all reaching and she's like, no, we're going to have to get you your own stuff because this stuff ain't cheap. This is not playmaker. And so it's always been a part of me. You know, my mother wore foundation and did her eyebrows and some lipstick. That was it. She didn't start wearing eyeshadow until she told me I was old enough to. So at 13 in seventh grade, I'm making up our faces before she goes to work and I go to school. And
love that.
It's always been an accessory. It's my favorite accessory.
Yeah. I think that's a lot how we look at our health and our wellness and our identity and our self-confidence is that that's who we are. And makeup, I think, is a good way to express that. So I'm going to kind of turn this just a little bit in a serious note before we start talking about makeup and skincare and products and all that kind of stuff. Sandra, I'll probably throw this one at you. Beyond your 40s, 50s, and 60s, our skin does change, but are there times that we should be alarmed about some of those changes in our skin?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we all know what an age spot looks like, what a liver spot maybe looks like, same kind of thing, just a little flat brown sunspot. But at times, I think the most important time to pay attention to it is if it should bleed, if it should itch, if it should be tender to the touch. You know, I'm not a doctor. It's out of my scope of practice, but I always recommend that my patients see a dermatologist once a year for sure. And anytime I notice something, I'll mention it. I'll try not to alarm them. Just say, hey, when you see your doctor, I would ask about this because it looks different to me. Have you noticed it?
That's good advice to have. So I know a lot of people probably come to you, Sandra, Melanie, and probably even you, Tanya, and talk about my skin feels different. So what are some of the biological things that happen in our bodies that make our skin change as we get older? And I'll throw that out to anyone.
So the biggest things that I notice is our pores get larger. Okay. We encounter fine lines or deeper than fine lines. The good old hooded eye. Okay. You know, the things that just are very fun as we age, our lips get smaller, our noses get bigger. I mean, our features just literally change. Like, you know, I do a lot of one-on-one makeup education. It's actually one of my favorite things to do is to teach somebody how to do their own makeup. And it could be somebody that's never really done their makeup, never really learned properly, has been a makeup diva their whole life. And then suddenly they just feel like, my God, what's happening? It's changing. It's not. It's different. It's how do I fix it? Or, you know, how do I do? And so those are like, I think the biggest things. We start to lose our hair, like our lashes, our eyebrows. And, but the good news is with all of that is there's plenty of products and tricks to the trade. And one myth that is out there a lot is the old, like, as you age, less is more. I actually believe the opposite. I believe that you got to kind of paint it on. That's if you want to be made up. I think there's also a totally different vibe where some people just want to look fresh and good and not feel or look like they have makeup on. So there's two different situations there.
Yeah. You know, I think the sun, obviously, we were talking about sunscreen a little while ago. Sun damage that occurs in our 20s doesn't appear until menopause. So it's like a double whammy. Not only are you going through menopause and you're having those symptoms, but you're also seeing the damage that we did to our skin in our 20s, right? And so a lot of times it's pigmentation, it's melasma, things like that that can be improved with product and treatment as well. But it takes time. It took time for it to come to a head, for us to see it, all those years that it lay dormant under our skin. And so it's not a quick fix. Pigment is like the hardest thing to deal with, but makeup obviously would be a great way to enhance and to live with it.
Yeah. Tanya, I see you shaking your head a lot there. Tanya, what do you have to add to that? And are there culturally sensitive things that we need to think about in this area as we age?
For women of color, hyperpigmentation is real. And between that, you know, the aging process and menopause, and we're at that age where a lot of us may have, you know, sports, kids and sports outside in the sun, and those weekend tournaments that we're baking in the sun the whole weekend. We got to support our kids, right? Or we're hauling grandkids to the park. But there's no ethnicity that does not require sunscreen. And that is something that a lot of people I encounter daily who look like me, look at me cross-eyed when I tell them they need to put on sunscreen. Oh, I have so much pigment. Okay. When you start getting that hyperpigmentation on your face and it looks like somebody has put a mask on you for a movie, then we'll talk about why you should have worn the sunscreen. But it's real, you know, that hyperpigmentation. And like you said, Sandra, it's not easy to get rid of. It's a process, and not every solution for that is good for Black skin.
Exactly.
So many Black women get the inflammatory tissue from those, the chemical peels and things like that. And you've made this problem.
Right. Connection scar
by doing
worse.
Those types of treatments. You really need to do your homework.
Yeah. You have to go to the right people, you know, and use the right technology. Mm-hmm. A lot of the treatments we have in our office are good for all skin types. Our laser hair removal device, that, you know, if you go to somebody that's not trained, it could really make bigger problems for you than just the hair. Mm-hmm. It can leave you hyperpigmented for sure.
Yeah. So let's kind of dive into that. Realistically, what should routines look like for aging skin? What is the core of what you should do? What are some of the non-negotiable things?
Definitely retin-A. You know, any type of tretinoin, retin-A, retinol, retinoids, retinals, all those things are derivatives of vitamin A. And that is the one ingredient that has been studied for 55 years. And it is a non-negotiable for anybody over the age of 35. If you want your skin cells to turn over more rapidly and consistently, you have to use it like the drug that it is. It's medicine. It's like a blood pressure pill. You're not going to take it sometimes and then not other times. You need to be very consistent every 24 to 48 hours, reapply, or it's going to be like a chemical peel. So it's just something that you tetricate up to, your skin gets used to it, and you get that nice cellular rejuvenation.
Yeah. So Melanie, do you have anything to add to that? What are some of those other, I know you said hydration.
Hydration. Oh my gosh. Like, you know, it just oil up. And then with makeup, there's a difference between like hydration and skin prep versus skin care for makeup, skin prep for makeup. Yeah, I can't tell you how many women I come across that just barely use lotion. And it's like, oh my gosh, you know, there's just so many products that are out, even affordable products. And I just think it's really important to hydrate and do your skincare routine. Cleanse, toning is really important. Eye cream, you know, face cream, body oil. As far as makeup goes, there's so many fabulous hydrating products that are great for makeup. Because a lot of like the derm care, you know, it's like you said, regenerating some cells and all this stuff. So sometimes that can fight makeup. So it's like, I tell people like, save all that expensive, juicy stuff for like your nighttime, no makeup days. But then there's other products that are really meant to work with your makeup, not only to have it last and look fabulous, but to actually deliver the skincare that's needed.
Tanya, what do you think is like the just non-negotiable that you need to do with your skin?
Don't sleep in your makeup. And for women of color, I really like the vitamin C, products with vitamin C, because that helps to brighten your skin. And we are going to dark spot. I don't care what level of melanin you have in your skin as a woman of color. You can be bright, you know, as my friends call me, you can be a bright light like me, or you can have the deep, dark, rich, you know, color, but you are going to spot up. It's a guarantee. The only question is to what degree.
I agree to that too. And the thing about vitamin C is that not only does it brighten and give you a beautiful glow, but especially important in the summer because it is going to protect you from free radicals and future damage. And it protects you from pollution, environmental damage, blue lights. Like it really is an unsung hero. I agree.
Yeah. My favorite product, which I don't sell yet. I'm hoping to. Maybe your place does, Sandra. I love that CE Ferulic from SkinCeuticals. That it's a serum. It is expensive.
Right.
But I swear by it. I've been using it for years. But yes, I really agree with vitamin C.
Right. Yeah, well, definitely.
So just out of curiosity, there are a lot of skin trends out there. When I open my Facebook, my Instagram or whatever, I get bombarded with, you need to buy this because this is the best thing out there and it's going to make you look 30 years younger. And, you know, we all kind of fall for those things. What is the trend out there that is really overrated that we need to stay away from that's just basically a moneymaker and doesn't work?
That's a good question. You know, I would say personally, a toner. Like, I like toners if they can also exfoliate, if they can brighten, if they can do other things too. I feel, in my opinion, they just need to have more than just balancing your pH.
Funny, most overrated product on the market right now.
God, I'm like really trying to like, why am I drawing such a blank on that right now? I used to hate primers. I used to literally think that primers were just like a joke, like a definite, but there are a few now that like I do think are kind of essential, but I don't think they're essential for every single person. I think that what people get caught up on, I think the biggest thing actually is, yes, you see these videos, you see all this stuff and it's like, get this, do this, but it's not you know, tailored to you and your needs and your skin. Are you dry? Are you oily? Are you combo? Do you sweat? Are you, you know, all those are huge questions to ask. I am a big toner person, but I'm so specific with my toner because I agree that a lot of toners on the market can be stripping to the skin. And again, especially as we start to age, you don't want anything stripping, you know? So I happen to carry this product called Senna. It's called Soothing Toner, and I love it because it has royal jelly in it. So you're immediately getting hydration, and then fennel.
Oh,
which,
yeah.
You know, is great nice. For redness and discoloration. So I think the biggest thing is you need to get all of this, you know, and like you do, and then you don't know how to use it too. I have so many women that come in with their bags for the one-on-one and they literally do not know how, they have it all. They just don't know how to use it. And then they get intimidated by it. So I think it's that. And I would say the one thing that people like that has been lost in a way is powder. This is as far as makeup goes. Nobody powders anymore. And as especially with like a loose powder and a puff, the first comment I get from women 40, 50, 60 and older is, oh no, that's going to make me look older. It's going to make my creases, my lines look more. Mm-hmm. And it's actually a complete misconception because you need it. This is when you're wearing makeup. You need it to set the makeup you have on. Otherwise, the makeup will slide into those creases. So for some reason, powder's gotten like a bad rap, but it's not only like it blurs, it's the technique and the type is really what it comes down to.
That's really great because that actually answered a question that I was going to ask later on about how do you keep it from going into the creases? So that makes all kinds of sense.
When I was running Dancing with the Stars, I was working with a lot of older divas, okay? Let's just say Susan Sarandon as one of them, one of my favorites, okay? And they're so used to like having a personal makeup artist, personal lighting, all this stuff. So now they're on this big show with all this crazy lighting everywhere, and I'm introducing shimmers and all this other stuff. Everything was like, I can't. Oh, it's going to age me. It's da 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 da. And I had to finally start telling my ladies, you know, babes, we are aging. And there's like a certain point where just embrace it. It's, you know, it's, we're not, other than lighting and filters, it just embrace it. So I just had to throw that out there.
Thank you for mentioning that one. That was so important. And we probably will conclude with a little more of that. Tanya, what about you? Any products out there you think are just trends and they're useless?
I don't know about you ladies, but some of these eye creams, I mean, there's millions of them. And I keep telling my friends, I mean, I have a friend every time she works at TJ Maxx. So you can just imagine there's that kind of stuff's coming in, you know, for an event. And she brings this tote. And I'm like, what's that? Because that's your makeup case. What's in that? She said, these are all these stupid eye creams I've bought. I need you to tell me which ones I need to get rid of. And which ones I need to keep. And I was like, well, it might not have been a good idea for you to ask me that before you shop. But if you can find a good moisturizer that you use on your face, your eyes are, that eye tissue is on your face. So if it's hydrating your face, it will hydrate that tissue as well.
Yeah, you're right. Even in our office, we have an eye cream, sometimes two and three from the same product line. And it's really, if we sometimes have a special where it's like, you know, product of the month is an eye cream, that's my biggest nightmare, right? Because you have to decide, you know, what is your main concern? What are you looking for? You know, is it dark circles? Is it puffiness? Is it the you know, periorbital all around the eye or just underneath the eye. So eye creams are tough for sure.
On that note, speaking of actually a product that is such a crap product, are those muds. Actually, that is what they are. It's mud. So those commercials that you see, like where it's like, oh my God, in 5 minutes, it's literally like you just went from 50 or from 70 to, you know, 40. That is such crap. And there are products that will smooth it out temporarily. It's essentially mud that's like tightening it all up. And it's not good long term. And it looks terrible later. It looks terrible under makeup. Those ones make me nuts. Those ones do.
Yeah. I probably have some of those as well, Melanie. I should have talked to you about that one too.
Oh, but look at it now, like, you know, an hour later, it's like,
yeah. So we've kind of touched on sleep and hydration and those sort of things You know, what are other things internally that you can do that help? I think Tanya mentioned vitamin C on the exterior, but what kind of things can you do to make your skin look better that are internal?
Collagen.
Number one.
Sleep, yeah.
Sleep.
For sure.
Like every other organ in your body, it's the largest one. You know, it's the last one to get nourished and rested.
Yeah. And collagen, Tanya,
and hydration.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Hydration. We're back to hydration. Yeah.
They didn't start telling us when we were little girls to drink, you know, 8 glasses of water every day. They weren't just telling us that because they wanted us, you know, to stay flushed. It was because our bodies are made. The biggest part of our bodies is water.
Yeah.
We are all dehydrated.
Yeah,
all
chronically.
Dehydrated. Yes, all of our organs, skin is our biggest organ. All of our organs need water to function properly.
Very true.
100%.
Melanie, any other things?
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is water and drinking water. And I do agree with some of like the no sugar electrolytes. Those are, you know, great for your skin too. They have the collagen packets that can go in the water. So you're kind of getting like a little double there too. Yeah. I mean, it's skincare. I really truly believe, like, if you can afford it, get facials. Get facials are, you know, life changing. They really are. Not only does the treatment itself just feel fabulous, but it's and if you can't afford it, you can find at home stuff to do it with as well.
Yeah.
So getting facials, treating yourself, sleep, hydration, those are all keys. And then when you've run out of those things and you're looking a little haggard, then you got your makeup to fix it all.
Exactly. So Andrea, I'm going to go on and throw that to you then. I mean, what are some of the things that are, I know the European facials are good. What other things do you recommend?
Well, honestly, I think any massage is great for your skin. So, you know, I hear a lot of especially medical clinical estheticians say the gua sha is like their nightmare tool, whatever, you know, people don't know how to use it. What you need to do is just move your limb, right? So anytime you have that puffiness, the swelling in the morning, your under eyes, when I'm driving into the office and I live a mile and a half from work, Molly, as you know. So I'm sitting at the red light and in the morning I am just massaging, you know, my lymph and I go down and just massage is great for your face and you can self-massage. Mm-hmm. And there are all kinds of tools now. I was on vacation last week and I had a patient literally text me this like space alien type thing that has the red light roller balls on it and it looked like a big V and she's like, what do you think about this? You're a gadget person, which I am a big gadget person. And I'm like, well, if it's the right level of light for red light therapy, which is like anywhere from 684 to 1800 megahertz, it is a good way to rejuvenate every skin cell in your body. Red light therapy is just huge right now. And it was really intended or it started 25 years ago with the astronauts on the space shuttle to grow plants. And they found that it helps repair your skin cells. So, and now they're doing research saying that it can even help your eyesight. It can help your skin cell or your cells in your eyes rejuvenate. I think the science is there, but it has to be the right one. So it can't be something that you would put in a red light that you would put in a chicken coop, right?
So I can't lay out underneath my plant light? Okay.
No,
I was
it's not
just thinking,
work.
I know what I'm doing tonight. I'm going to lay out under my plant light.
And I think any massage on your face is great.
Those are simple things I think that everybody can do. Melanie, I'm going to come back to you. Since you do makeup and you're very good at it and a pro in this area, a lot of women feel, I guess, invisible as they age. And how do you help people reclaim that confidence? And what do you wish women would understand more about realistic beauty?
Again, embracing, I know it's hard. Believe me, I'm 52. I'm going through it. You know what I mean? I'm getting the hooded eye. I'm seeing it all. And I have my clients where I see it too. And they've been with me for years. But it's like, there has to come a point where you just embrace it. My grandma is having her 95th birthday next month. And my nana, my great grandma, lived till she was 97. And they both wore makeup. And that was probably, even though I was like a natural kind of girl growing up, I really, you know, remember those memories of them putting their face off and then putting their face on and then taking their face off, you know, before bed. And I just think like back to like, say, just the Susan Sarandon story. This was multiple women that I've dealt with over the years is, oh God, I can't wear shimmer. I can't wear glitter. Oh my God, no. And it's like, oh my God, have fun. As a matter of fact, like the more you, when you do throw on that glitter, when you do like put on a little highlighter, when you do a little something extra, you're going to get compliments. You're going to, people are going to be like, wow, how fun. That's so fun. So I do think like putting a little bit of extra time. I loved what Tanya said earlier about my, her favorite accessory, because there's definitely the makeup that's going to look good on you just to like look natural, fresh, whatever, out the door, 5-10 minutes that we all want. Right. But I try to tell people, don't get stuck on like, oh, I can only wear this lip. Like there's like this color thing going around where you get your color done. And that's fun. That is fun. But you don't have to marry that. You know what I mean? Think of lipstick like a pair of shoes or a purse or your blush or some eyeshadow. I just think, you know, makeup is magical. It really is. I do think that it can be intimidating and it's about right products. And it's about having a person that knows and can really help explain and teach you how to put it on. And then to kind of just have the confidence to do it. You know what I mean? I just think that's so important.
Yeah, thank you for that. Tanya, I'm going to ask this of you too, because I see you over there shaking your head. How do we find that balance between accepting that we're at that point where we're aging, but we also want to feel our best and look our best inside and out?
I am a firm believer that every day that I wake up is a blessing, and I'm going to toot my horn, and I'm going to shake my hiney, and I'm going to live every minute of it. If that means I'm wearing black eyeliner at 57 instead of brown or plum that day, then that's what I'm going to do. And I think we are, as women especially, we are so caught up on what other people think that we stop being who we are and we become who they think we should be, how they think we should look. And that's why so many of us get to a point where we're not happy. And it's because we're trying to please everybody else except us. My husband has always been a, baby, you don't have to wear a stitch on that face. That face is beautiful to me. And he said that to me probably up until about 15 years in. And then it got to be, and he's one of those men, what he's used to is what he's used to. And so over those days, we're going to go to town and he's like, you're not going to put your face on? Because he's grown to love that version of me, you know. So I don't wear just like my clothes, just like my face, my hair. I don't do any of it for anybody else but me.
I love that. And I want to throw a little metaphysical thing out there. I think it's so important to look at yourself in the mirror and tell yourself you're beautiful. It is magic. Yes. It really is.
Every day.
You know, when you, if you talk negatively, if you look at yourself and you're like, oh God, I'm so old. Oh God, my blah, 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 all this stuff. It resonates, you know? And I think it powerful to say out loud and look at yourself, you know, and there's days too. I own a makeup shop. Do I have makeup on every single day? I don't, you know, and I'm okay with that. I really am, you know, cause I'm okay in my skin. I love when I wear makeup, I feel so much better, but, I think it's really important and everybody gets caught up with it. Everybody does. There's times I look at myself and it's like, ugh. And I have to like remind myself, no. I think that's so important.
Yeah. You know, I'm 63 years old and I work in a plastic surgeon's office. We have 2 plastic surgeons. We do all kinds of lasers. We have 3 injectors, Botox, you know, any filler you could want. We do really fantastic work, honestly. But I have chosen to let my hair go gray. And so many of my friends are texting me when they see me on Facebook or Instagram, and they'll say, you're so brave. You're so brave.
Don't you love that?
And I'm like, it's actually a look that I've chosen. It's not that I've let myself go. I mean, I get up and I do me every day. And, you know, I like the way it looks and I'm happy with my choice. So it's just so funny what other people perceive. You know, just because you have gray hair that you're some kind of granny.
And it's right? Because that's the mindset that they have. They've bought into the lie.
Right.
They have bought into what society thinks we should, what we should look like. And, you know, there are many of us who are never going to be model thin.
Right.
We don't have the bone structure for that. Even if, no matter how much we don't eat, we are not built that way. And there's something poetic about owning who you are. And my husband tells me all the time, and, you know, it used to kind of make me feel a certain kind of way when we would be out and he'd see some, you know, lady, older lady, you know, doesn't matter what age, doesn't matter what size. But if he sees a spunky woman, he's going to say, she's got it going on, you know, and I'm like, okay, keep looking. but you appreciate it. It's good to know that it's not, that's this part of us is not who we are.
Right.
Our insides got to shine through. Yeah. And that's what's going to elevate the rest.
It's very interesting to hear people talk about, you know, our inside beauty when we're talking about our outside beauty. Mm-hmm. In the podcast before this, to the listeners out there, we talked about wabi-sabi and how we find beauty and imperfection as well. So if you want to back up and listen to that one, you can do that. Does anybody have any last minute things? I think that this inner beauty is a great way to end. But if anybody has just something they'd like to add that they want the listener to know, maybe Melanie, we'd like to know how we can find you and find your makeup. Same with you, Sandra.
Yeah. My store is called The Makeup Altar, which now I'm kind of coining it as your ultimate goddess depot, because I just started to bring in some fun goddessy sort of clothes. But I've got skincare, I've got makeup. The store is interesting because I do have a couple known brands like Danessa Myricks, Makeup Forever, but I have a lot of indie brands as well, because while I was doing my trade show circuit with the Melanie Mills Hollywood products, I became such good friends with all the founders, and I've got theatrical makeup. I really kind of have like a great little selection going on, but I also have, you know, beautiful feather earrings or crystal earrings or tarot. There's tarot workshops and readings that are offered at the store as well. And so anyhow, it's called The Makeup Altar. It's in East Nashville, Five Points. And you can find it by themakeupalter.com. On Instagram, it is The Makeup Altar Nashville. TikTok, which I'm just starting to get into, another full-time job, is The Makeup Altar Nash. And I believe Facebook is The Makeup Altar Nashville as well. And I'm very responsive. I do all of my own PR and marketing and videos and all that stuff. So you can either DM me, you can email, you can call. Not only do I do makeup for whatever event you're going to, it can be a vampire ball, it can be you just want to look healthy, fresh, and natural, it can be full glam, it can be a Dancing with the Stars look, whatever you want, theatrical as well, and Halloween are book solid, so get in for that if you want.
Wow.
But we also, like I said, I love teaching. I do a one-on-one, it's 2 hours. And we can go through everything tailored to your needs. And then I do a little mini feature focus. And we do glam parties. As a matter of fact, I just had a glam party with a bunch of gals from Bowling Green. And that's like 3 to 7 women. We kind of pile in to this little area and just have a good time. And we teach everybody about a 30-minute something or other. And so everybody learns off of each other, too. And it's really fun. So, yeah, come on down.
That sounds fabulous. Sandra, you want to plug anything?
Yes. I work at Atala Plastic Surgery. We have the plastic surgery side with our 2 plastic surgeons, board certified plastic surgeons. They work out of the med center here in Bowling Green. And then on our side, we are skin and laser. And we've got some of our girls have been there for 28, 29 years. I've been there for 10 now. Like, it's a family-owned business. It feels very much like none of us are intimidating. I don't think, Molly, would you agree?
No, nobody's like, intimidating.
Like we're not like plastic cookie cutter. Like, we're in aesthetics, but we're all just real people. Like, nobody looks like a Barbie, you know? And I don't think I could work in a place like that. Because I'm just who I am. And I'm here in Bowling Green at Atala Skin and Laser.
Tanya, how might we get in touch with you?
I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram, TikTok.
Yeah,
you can tell I got 20-something kids.
Yeah, right.
Well, if I hadn't joined all those things, half the stuff they sent me, I couldn't open.
Right. I got that. I really appreciate the three of you all joining me today and talking about this topic. I tried to figure a way that it might fit into how I was doing health and wellness, and it just fit in like a glove. And I do appreciate all of your insights. So to our listeners out there, remember to stay rooted and stay connected. Until next time.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining Rooted Conversations by Reinnovate You Coaching and for seeking clarity and truth in your health and wellness journey. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe, share, and leave a review. It helps us grow and reach more listeners like you. For resources and updates, follow us on social media or visit riucoaching.com. Until next time, stay grounded, stay curious, and keep growing. As a reminder, this podcast is for informational and educational purposes only and is not intended to be medical advice. I am not a medical provider. I am a PhD, not an MD. And nothing in these conversations should be used to diagnose, treat, or replace care from a qualified healthcare professional. Always consult your doctor or trusted healthcare provider regarding any questions or concerns about your health.